This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for our regular Thursday visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, alleged progress this week on the health care front. On the Senate side, Harry Reid announcing that the Democrats behind their closed doors have come up with a bill that is going to reduce costs, or is at least under that $900 billion threshold over 10 years, as outlined by the president. Now here on Thursday, Nancy Pelosi on the House side saying Democrats have put together their version. Are we actually closer to a final bill, or do you still believe nothing's going to happen?
Nothing's going to happen, and by no stretch of the imagination are we any closer. Look, the bill that Speaker Pelosi is unveiling this week is more than 1,530 pages long. This is something that members are going to have to digest, or say they will, in a relatively short order. And as we know, the devil is in the details on these things. In addition, the Progressive Caucus in the House, according to a confidential whip count, does not even have all its members lined up behind a measure with public option yet. That's why that whip count was released, to try and get them to move and come out for the bill. On the Senate side, Senator Joe Lieberman, independent Democrat of Connecticut, has said while he will vote to proceed, in other words, not support a filibuster, he is against the final package. And certainly the negative comments from Democrats Landrieu of Louisiana, Blanche Lambert Lincoln of Arkansas, and Nelson of Nebraska, coupled with those of Olympia Snow of Maine, the only Republican on the Senate Finance Committee to back the bill, indicate stormy weather ahead. My guess is it's dead on arrival in the Senate, and the House will not get to it this year.
John, we talked to Senator Hatch earlier in the week, and he says he doesn't think the bills being unveiled this week have a chance of passing, but he says Democrats will water it down to the point where something will pass because they've invested so much political capital that something has to pass. Accurate or no?
No, it's not accurate at all. With all respect to Senator Hatch, I would point out that so many people are satisfied with their health care program, and there is considerable skepticism about the 46 million Americans who don't have health care. Many of those are illegal immigrants and hence not citizens. Others are younger people who don't want health care. I'm not going to debate the merits of having a health care plan of some kind. I'm going to say that many just do not want to have one. It's that simple. And I would tell you something on this entire issue. It's the old saying of better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. We found this out in 1993 when Congress, with not numbers dissimilar from now, stopped the Clinton health care plan. It appears that history, while it may not repeat itself, as Mark Twain said, sometimes it rhymes.
John, let's talk about a couple of other issues. Over the past few weeks, you've offered your predictions on the few national races getting some attention right now. We've talked about special congressional elections in California and New York, and we'll update the New York one in just a moment. Last week, you predicted the New Jersey governor's race, and we'll get to that in a second as well. This week, we haven't talked about it much, but the Virginia governor's race. Democrats have won the last two campaigns with Mark Warner and Tim Kaine. But right now, the poll suggests that Republican Bob McDonnell has a considerable lead over Democrat Creed Deeds. Is that the way it'll turn out on Tuesday?
Well, this is a case where history is not rhyming or repeating itself, but being changed. In the last two elections, the Democrats won the governorship in relatively close races. In this election, for the first time since 1997, a Republican will win and win easily. Bob McDonnell will not only win, but bring in his lieutenant governor running mate, Bill Bowling, and the attorney general candidate, Ken Cuccinelli. It will be a sweep. And in part, this is the fact he's a very disciplined, organized campaigner. In addition, Mr. Deeds, the Democrat, has proved himself to be a very bad campaigner, holding open the door to a tax increase to deal with the state's transportation needs, and in the process being very negative and at times personal about Mr. McDonnell. The Obama White House apparently felt the same way about this and have hold him in minimum high regard right now. It's a wash for the Republicans.
John, as is common on the floor of Congress, we're going to give you the chance to revise and extend your remarks on previous predictions since this is our final conversation before Election Day. Last week we talked about New Jersey, incumbent Democrat John Corzine, Republican Chris Christie, and independent Chris Daggett. Any change in your prediction there?
No, Christie by 2 to 3 points. Chris Daggett, the independent, was appealing at first, but he's more George Wallace or Ross Perot than he's Jesse Ventura. In other words, a candidate who, as an insurgent, appeals at the beginning but fades as we get closer to the election and voters don't want to waste their vote. Right now I've seen polls where he draws more Democrats than Republicans, and I say Mr. Christie, in spite of a very inept campaign, will win.
And we'll see how late the vote counting goes in New Jersey on Tuesday. John, New York's 23rd congressional district, this has been seen as one of those battles for the future of the Republican Party. The local Republicans nominated what many consider to be a very liberal nominee in Didi Scozzafava. So therefore, the Conservative Party has backed Doug Hoffman, who seems to be surging in the polls just as you said he would.
Yes, he is. And what is happening is that as many national Republican leaders break ranks to support the Conservative, among them, Governor Pawlenty of Minnesota, former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, and at least two House members, and Steve Forbes, a former Republican presidential candidate. Local Republicans are finding it's not so unfashionable to be for Hoffman over Scozzafava. There is the fear that a Democrat can win, and certainly Barack Obama would not have been there had he not felt there was a chance for Bill Owens to win. My guess is, in a district that's been in Republican hands since 1870, with quite a few Republicans upset at their nominee and going conservative, the winner will be Doug Hoffman.
Well, we'll certainly see if that's true. And, John, you've picked the Democrat to win the open Democratic seat in California. Let's quickly move in our final moments here, John, to foreign policy. The wait goes on for many to see what the president will decide in terms of his Afghan policy. We're hearing all sorts of different things. Many say he wants to wait until after the runoff for the Afghan presidency on November 7th. Others are saying now he's not even likely to endorse 40,000 troops as recommended by General McChrystal, but maybe about 10 to 20,000. What do you expect, and when do you expect to hear it?
I think that General McChrystal will probably unveil the amount. And for all the talk of McChrystalite and less than 40,000, that figure has been so identified with the general that that's what he will come in with. Anything less than that will make him look weak. And remember something. President Obama replaced one commander, David McKiernan. He could replace General McChrystal. General McChrystal could resign if they don't agree on figures. I would have to say this. I would respectfully ask the administration and its spokesman, what is the difference between President Karzai and his opponent, Abdullah Abdullah? And why is it so important that we back one particular figure over another? I mean, during World War II, we saw at very critical times in the post-war period, the Brits replace Winston Churchill with Clement Attlee in Britain, and the process simply continued as it was. There's always smooth transitions, and in a democracy, it doesn't matter who's elected as long as he or she is elected. So I find that a very lame excuse for dealing with it. Time will tell.
Time will tell, John, and next Thursday will be the last time we talk before that election, and don't think you're going to get out of a prediction on the Afghan presidential runoff, so we'll talk about that next week. Thanks, as always, for your time this week.
Closing my portfolio on American elections and looking to campaign 09 in Kabul, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily. Very good, sir.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. Talk to you next week, Giz.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.